I was noticing on the YouTube that there's a few of the Elnu Abenaki singers that I'm going to play for our listeners, too. So that's kind of fun that they got on there. And then I found out that Jesse was responsible for putting some of the videos on YouTube.
So. Well, yep. As a tribute to, you know, Roger mm-hmm. and all the hard work, there was, I'll tell it like it is, there was a video that was on a news site that will remain unnamed. However, they only made that video available to certain clientele, so I decided to help myself to the video and recompile it and put it up on YouTube as a, you know, to honor the hard work that Roger and his group did. And they were very pleased with it. And so is everybody else that sees it.
Yeah.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, you're welcome, my friend.
It's wonderful to be able to go and
borrow stuff.
Right. All right. Well, Roger, I don't think you said you maybe don't have any events coming right up to announce, but I know that you're involved in so much. You talked about some of the foods, the traditional foods, and that people were putting together some recipes sharing recipes.
I haven't. There's a woman. My cousin Mel had sent me an email, basically saying that this woman wanted to do some Eastern Native foods and get some recipes and things like that. And I had just told her I'm a terrible typer, mm-hmm. and I'm slow as all get out. You know, I sit there and I peck away with my fingers. So I always tell people I prefer talking to them on the phone mm-hmm. Than sending them emails. So I told her give her my phone number and I'll give her my recipe for hominy corn soup. You know, she picked my brain on anything else she wanted. Mel was mentioning something about frog's legs or something. Hmm. Her family's big on frog's legs.
All right.
They go out at night, I think a 22, and they shoot the frogs, and they take them back, and they put them in the freezer. And, you know, when we have get-togethers and things like that, they break them out, and they batter them and fry them up. And stuff.
All right.
They're good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, Roger, that email actually came to the website, and I had sent it on to, certainly, Luke, and hopes to send to the commission members so that they could find folks like yourself to be able to assist answering those type of questions. So I appreciate that.
Yeah. No problem. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, I think it's great to that Mark's been really on this website, because I know my daughter in college does a lot of research, and this is the kind of thing that could be a really great tool for kids that are in school and may want to focus a little bit on Native study here in Vermont and in New England, and so I think the website is really valuable for that.
Yeah, I'm of the age group, and I don't know how you are, Roger, but when the TV used to first come on, it was black and white in the morning. And
yeah, I remember that, too.
And the only thing you could watch was the Indian going, ooh, until the station actually came on. So I thought they were honoring us.
That's one way to think about it.
Speaking of honoring, do you have any plans for next month? It's Native American Heritage Month. Is anything being planned?
Only thing I know is that I'm supposed to be up at Champlain College mm-hmm. Doing something up there, but I haven't verified that yet. Can't hold me to it. I don't know off the top of my head what's going on, you know.
Yeah. I think commission members are trying to get something going at UVM also, and I certainly, hope to hear about it and certainly
that'd be good
and publish it. So
yeah,
okay. Yeah, I mean, we live down here in the middle of southern Vermont, so it's like everything else is going on up north.
Push a button and send it our way, and we'll put it on the site. How am I doing so far?
Doing good.
Doing good. I'd like to just ask, this is a personal thing of my own, but maybe some of our listeners might be interested, too. And how do you feel about that nuclear power plant sitting right on the river down there?
It's one of those good and bad things, you know? the problem with it is it seems like it's falling apart.
Mm.
But on the other hand, there's jobs and all sorts of things that, you know, the cheap energy and all that kind of stuff. So I'm kind of in the middle of that. I'm just, you know, kind of divided as to which way to go with it. I'd love to see them get in there and, you know, retrofit the place and get it working the way it's supposed to be, opposed to just kind of, you know, letting it sit the way it is.
So. I've often thought, though, that some of the decisions that have been made have not been made with that indigenous perspective of maybe thinking ahead for the seven generations, that we maybe wouldn't be in this position right now.
Oh, yeah.
If
yeah.
we would have been already in a mindset that was a little bit different then. So, yeah, you know, I'm real sorry about that. And that's one of the reasons why I do this radio show, is that I want to present the indigenous perspective.
Yeah, there's a saying that might apply, is it's a lot easier to ask forgiveness than it is for permission.
Yeah.
So they just do whatever they want and later on go, oh, hey, we're really sorry.
Yeah. Right, right.
That's the way, that's the way it goes across this whole world, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, big business and government kind of do things like that, and, you know, until something bad really happens, and nobody kind of pays attention to it. That's, you know, and sooner or later, something always bad happens. That's the scary part about it. You know, my son went to high school down there for the forestry and then law enforcement, and the school is probably an eighth of a mile, quarter of a mile from the power plant. And, you know, and they used to have these little drills and all that kind of stuff, and I used to tell him, I said, do me a favor, I said, you hear them sirens, anything like that, don't get on the school buses. I said, you just get up to 91 and start walking over to 30 and keep walking. Because I said, you know, wind is coming out of the west. And if that place blows, at least you'll be going the right direction where the wind's coming from. So this way, you hopefully, you know, nothing happens and stuff. But, yeah, it's kind of scary, you know.
Well, I'm going to take a little break and just play a little bit, and would you like to stay on the line?
Sure, sure.
And we'll be right back.
As long as my battery doesn't die on me, I'm good.
Okay. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Was the LU Abenaki Singers. With me on the line is Chief Roger Longtoe Sheehan. Thank you so much for joining us.
A feast song. Wow. It's actually a Mi'kmaq feast song.
And they were playing hand drums.
Yep. Most of the time we tend to play with the smaller hand drums because that's the traditional older way of doing it. The big drum kind of came back here from the west when a lot of folks went out to the, you know, with the Indian movement out in Wounded Knee and places like that and stuff in the 70s and 80s, and they brought back the big drum and the powwow type thing, you know. But, I mean, sometimes we'll play on a big drum, too. It depends where we're at and, you know, what we've got.
Uh-huh. But, so you do have a group drum, a tribe drum that you use?
I wouldn't say a group drum. We have... Some of our members have their own big drums,
uh-huh.
And so if they pull it out and we're at a place, other times we've been at other socials where the other tribe or group would pull out their big drum and we'd play on it,
mm-hmm.
drum on it. But myself, I prefer the small drum, the hand mm-hmm. drum, and rattles and stuff.
It's a YouTube, actually. It's called the El New Abnaki Interview, put on the YouTube by Basket Man. And I think Basket Man is here with us in the studio. So I'm just going to play this next one.
Okay.
So if you hold on, Roger, I think you'll be able to hear it.
Okay.
Basically showing people how the Abenaki would have lived in the time of 1609, some of the accoutrements, the crafts and skills to make the things that they were using. Like Rose right now, she's making a twine tump line, which is used for carrying your baggage. So basically, all the things that are here represent things that we would have had, our ancestors would have had in 1609. Most of the people here are from the El New Abenaki tribe. It shows that we're still here, and we're still practicing some of these very old traditional skills. We're sitting around the fire the way our ancestors did, and singing at night, and being a tribe. You know, the people are coming together, and that's being lost very quickly, you know, in the modern world.
I just want to ask you, how did you learn that song, or how did you come by some
of it? A lot of the songs we've learned, but from tapes, from other people singing them. Other times when we'll go to socials and things like that, we'll hear the songs, and, you know, we'll sit down and try and learn them. George Paul, who is a Mi'kmaq singer from Nova Scotia, I think he's Nova Scotia, he put out one of the first tapes probably close to about, I don't know, 18, 20 years ago. And the songs had been around and stuff, but he got them out there to people, you know? And so all these Wabanaki songs were, you know, he put out on tape, and people started hearing them and started singing them, and you started seeing them start getting played at powwows and things like that. He's been kind of a major influence with the music end of it. And actually, my cousin Vera has been in contact with him off and on for years, talking with him, I guess, on the phone and stuff like that. And stuff. Most of the songs that we sing are true Wabanaki songs. You know, sometimes the Mi'kmaqs will claim one song as theirs, or the Penobscots, or the Abenakis, vice versa. What a lot of these songs go back to are especially the Gwando Day songs. You'll hear a lot of times Gwando Day in a lot of the songs. That goes back to the Wabanaki Confederacy and the Seven Nations Confederacy, which these songs were protocol songs. So the song that you heard a few minutes ago, the first song, was actually a welcoming song, and was a song that was sung before people would sit down and feast. A lot of the greeting songs, which are Gwando Day songs, were done by one chief from one community to another chief when they met. And after those songs were sung, then they could sit down and take care of political things and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was a whole ceremony of the people lining up when, you know, one tribe visited another tribe. The visiting tribe would line up, and the chief would get up, the leader, and he would take his pipe and put tobacco in it, and he would dance his pipe up to the home chief, and he would sing a greeting song.
Mm-hmm.
And when he got to the home chief, they would sit down, smoke it. He would go back to his side of the line or his people, and then the home chief would get up, and he would sing a different greeting song. So there's so many of these Gwando Day songs. And it probably has something to do with the word. It's used as a greeting word only in music. normally we would just, you know, if we were to say hello, we would just say Kwe.
Mm-hmm.
But in music, you always hear Guando Day.
Guando Day.
It might have something to do with something like come into the big house, basically, into the